I think of all the night that I have been preaching here, this is the night that my stomach is very full. Because I like to eat spaghetti, so I eat much. Plus, I ate also ice cream. When I went out, I felt very cold. Truly, we have a lot of things to thank God for. He has provided us and protected us here. At the same time, we have the time to be with fellow believers. You know, in church camp, one thing I like in church camp, I don't know if you have seen it. It's like a foretaste of heaven, church camp. Yeah, because in heaven, you don't have any office in heaven. No school in heaven. It's just like worshiping the Lord. So church camp is a foretaste of heaven. You like church camp? Good. Because if you say, I don't like to go to church camp, you don't like to go to heaven. Very loud, eh? So it's a good thing to be in the church camp. And if you like church camp, that means to say that you have the Spirit in you and you want to be in heaven. I hope our visitors this camp that you want to be in the church camp again. Next camp. Okay, let us bow our heads and ask God's blessings. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Christian fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of the world to be with God's people. And right now, in this church camp, we have tasted the sweetness of being with God's people. At the same time, we have tasted the foretaste of heaven. Oh, Lord, thank you for salvation so rich and free through Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that you are so faithful to us. You have provided all our needs. And in your divine appointment, you have brought us here together to spend time with the Word of God and to be trained in the Word of God, that after this camp, we would be a faithful Christian, willing to invest our lives to other people and even willing to keep on following Jesus. Lord, I commit myself to you because without you, I am nothing. And Lord, I commit also to you, the campers, be with them. Give them understanding. Give them the grace to keep thy words in their heart that they might not sin against thee. Lord, be with us always. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, based on Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, I'll be speaking to you on the topic, wake up from your spiritual slumber. Wake up from your spiritual slumber. Before going further, allow me to ask this question. What have you been doing? Well, I will answer for you. Don't worry, I'm very kind. I'll give a very good answer. Well, being a Christian, I believe that you have been attending to church. You have been reading your Bible. You have been praying. You have been attending fellowship, right? Because you are a Christian. Well, it is possible that in one of these areas, you are not consistent, but I believe, by and large, you are doing all these things as a Christian. But the next question that I want to stress tonight, are you doing it with excitement? Are you doing it with conviction? Saturday night, you are excited, you are preparing your shoes, you make your shoes shiny. Saturday night, you iron your clothes because tomorrow is Sunday, I will worship the Lord. That is with excitement. With conviction, I must worship God because He saved me from my sin. Or you are just doing this, all these things for the sake of doing because you are a Christian or because your parents are Christian. In other words, you are doing these things. I mean, these things become a motion of religiosity. You come to prayer meeting because your parents are bringing you to prayer meeting. You come to Sunday service because your parents are bringing you to Sunday service. You are in the presence of God. You are facing God inside the church, but your heart is far from the Lord. Does this describe you tonight? If it is so, I want to tell you, you are spiritually slumber. You are spiritually sleeping, I mean, and spiritually drowsy. In our text tonight, look at verse 11. You could see the word sleep. Have you seen it? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep. You could see the word sleep there. And the word sleep there in verse 11 doesn't refer to physical sleep, but spiritual sleep. As I told you last Friday, it is very easy to see when a person is sleeping physically in the service. Especially I, when I speak, I look at all of your faces. I notice. But there are people who are very clever when they sleep in the Sunday service. Do you know which part of the Sunday service they will sleep? In the pastoral prayer. Because the pastor would pray very long, right? Okay, let us pray. The pastor would pray, the children, those who are sick, all the ministers quite long. So they take a nap in the pastoral service. I mean, they also wake up very clever, but still it can be noticed if you are sleeping physically. But when you are sleeping spiritually, very difficult to notice. In fact, it is possible that the person himself, the person herself who is sleeping spiritually is not aware that she is sleeping spiritually. You can give tithes and offerings. You can play the piano. You can teach the children. You can come to church early. You can pray for other people, yet you are sleeping spiritually. And tonight, what we will see is a spiritual alarm clock. I believe all of us have alarm clock. Isn't it? For me, I'm not bringing an alarm clock, but my cell phone could be an alarm clock. I must. So now we will study a spiritual alarm clock. Because we are sleeping spiritually. So what will awaken us is what? Spiritual alarm clock. See, you are now awake. Look at verse 10. Verse 8 to 10. Prior to verse 11, I told you it's very good to look at the passages before our text. Here in verse 8 to 10, Paul is talking about love. And here mainly, Paul was exhorting the believers in Rome that love is very important. Love, the love of God in our hearts, would motivate us to obey God's law, to obey God's commandment. The love in our hearts, the love of Christ in our hearts, would motivate us to love other people, to be sensitive to other people, to take care of other people. That's the emphasis of Paul here. But it's sad to say, instead of our hearts full of love, the Christians in Rome gradually become bankrupt of God's love. And because they are slowly becoming bankrupt of God's love, gradually they learn to disobey God's law. Gradually they learn to despise people. Instead of helping one another, loving one another, taking care of other people, they are no longer sensitive. Why? Because slowly they became bankrupt of God's love. That is the context. Then look at verse 11. And that knowing the time, again, take note that in our verse tonight, the word time is mentioned twice. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time, you see? Two times. Yes, in English, it's all time. But in the original in Greek, there are different words. And the word time here, in the very beginning, it means knowing the situation. Kairon, knowing the situation. What is the situation? The situation is that the believers in Rome are gradually becoming bankrupt of God's love. Slowly disobeying God's law, and slowly they try to neglect the responsibility towards other people. Instead of sharpening iron, iron sharpens iron, they try to neglect that. That's why Paul said in the very beginning, and that knowing the time, knowing the situation, I have to write this to you. In other words, when Paul was writing this down in verse 11, the believers in Rome are spiritually drowsy or spiritually sleeping. That's why Paul had no choice but to place a spiritual alarm clock in the ears of the believers in Rome. And this spiritual alarm clock that we will see tonight is not only applicable to the believers in Rome, but also for us today. Because once in a while, we sleep spiritually. Where is the spiritual alarm clock? And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up. Out of sleep. Again, the word out of sleep is very important. It is another proof that they were sleeping. Just like, let's say for example, your mother say, get out from the room. What does it mean? You are inside the room. Because if you are outside the room, no point of telling, get out from the room. Wake up out of sleep. They were sleeping spiritually. And here, the word time here is not situation. It's aura. It's hour. In other words, it's time to wake up and you must wake up at this very hour. That is the point here. That is the emphasis. Let's say, for example, a child. And the class of the child will start at 7:45 in the morning. 7:45. So the mother said, most to most, my son must wake up at 7 o'clock so that my son has at least 45 minutes to prepare. 7 o'clock, huh? Most to most. 6:45, the mother will wake up the child. Darling, honey, wake up. It's already morning, 6:45. Then the child, yes, mommy, but still lying on the bed. 6:50, honey, darling, wake up. Wake up. Go to school now. 6:50, okay, mommy, but still you're lying. 6:55, not yet 7 o'clock, huh? 6:55, honey, it's already 6:55. Come on, wake up. Yes, mother, when that time clicked to 7 o'clock, your mommy, what did your mommy say? Most almost 7 o'clock. Your mommy, a bit angry, honey, darling, I told you, you must wake up. It's high time to wake up. That is the emphasis of the word. Knowing, verse 11, that now it is high time to wake up. Friends, right now, I think ice cream is good. Ice cream can make you awake. I look at you, you're all awake. I just started my introduction and you're already awake. Physically, I don't know spiritually, you see? Physically, you're awake. Spiritually, I don't know. If you are sleeping spiritually, this is for you. It's high time to wake up. Can we open to Revelation chapter 2, verses 3 and 4? Revelation chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I'll read to you. I just start from verse 1. Verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. You see, they were working, the church of Ephesus. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. They are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast what? Left thy first love. As far as the church of Ephesus is concerned, they were active. They were doing the Lord's work. But you know what's the problem? They left their first love. You know, when I prepared this message, I remember a story of a man. He was about to tell his girlfriend to get married. To get married, you see? He was about to propose. So while they were walking on the street, on the road, beside the road, there was a little crack of the road. Just a little crack, huh? The boy said, "Darling, darling, dear, be careful, huh? You see? There's a little crack." So the girl said, "Oh, this is my boyfriend, very caring." So they continued to walk. As they continued to walk, there was a little stone. "Darling, darling, honey, honey, be careful, huh? Little stone." The lady said, "Oh, very loving." As they continued to walk, the boy said, "I think you are thirsty. What do you want to drink? Tell me, why I want to buy, because you see, you look very thirsty." The lady said, "Very caring, very loving." When they arrived in the corner, both of them seated, and the man said, "Will you marry me?" "Of course, because very caring, right?" They get married. 1 year after, the lady became pregnant. They were walking. While they were walking, the lady stepped the stone. The husband said, "How come you walk and you never look at the little stone? You see? See? Have you seen the difference?" Then they arrived home. The lady was pregnant and the lady was thirsty. And the lady told the husband, "Darling, can you get water for me? You see, I'm doing something because I have to make a report. Can you please stand and take water?" You know what happened? The first love is gone. How is your first love to God? How's the vibrancy of your faith? How is the freshness of your faith to Jesus? If you come to church, if you come to prayer meeting, without freshness, there is no longer vibrancy. I would tell you, frankly, you are spiritually sleeping, and it is high time for you to wake up. Can we open to Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 17? This is the message to the church of Laodicea. Verse 15, I'll read. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth." God was not happy. And here the reason is given to us. "Because thou seest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The church of Laodicea is not hot nor cold, lukewarm. And God was very angry. Just like now, when I came, I took a cup, put half hot water, at the same time put half hot water and half cold water. Then the result is what? Lukewarm. And the reason why the church in Laodicea became lukewarm, because everything is fine. You know, when everything is fine, you like to sleep. Even you snore. Because everything is fine. How to awaken you? Send thunder and lightnings. I remember my first night here. In the very beginning, I sleep well. 2 o'clock in the morning, it's very cold. But last night, I think I snore because I have a heater besides me. That's it. It's sad to say for Christian that when we receive blessing after blessing, our focus is where? On the blessing. We don't look up the giver of the blessing. And that's why we become complacent in our Christian walk. We look at the blessing, not the giver of the blessing. Are you feeling lukewarm because of the blessings that you have received? Are you feeling lukewarm because of the promotion that you receive? It's high time for you to wake up tonight. Wake up from your spiritual slumber. For you who are now serving in the church in different areas, how is your service in the church? Are you serving with gladness and joy? I remember in Singapore, When I was in my first year, because back in Cebu, I am in the rehab center, so I learned to work, keep on working. And when I was in Singapore in my first year, you know, in the BP circle, when we are new in the church, though we are Christians, we are not asked to serve, you see? You asked to what? Observe. So I was observing there. I don't feel comfortable because I used to serve in the church. So when I was in my second year, I asked, the person said, I want to arrange chairs. I said, yes, you can arrange chairs, but you must come very early. The service will start at 9:30, 7:15, you have to come to the church. 7:15, I'll go there. There are brothers and sisters who come early also with me. But you know, sometimes they never even say hi, they never even say good morning, come early to the church. No more joy. They just come to the church because they are part of the committee, because it's their line of service, but there is no joy, and that is not good. You know why? Can we open to Psalm chapter 100, Psalm 100, I mean. Psalm 100, verse 2. Just slowly, this is not a contest, as long as you will arrive there. Psalm 100, verse 2. What? Serve the Lord with gladness. So, for you, members of the committee of the camp, it's not easy to plan, isn't it? You think, plan, and do all these things. You must plan, you must serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Yes, we must be faithful. Faithfulness is not enough. You must keep on. You must have the gladness. Smile while serving. How shameful it is. You want to come to church early. Maybe you bring some snacks. You arrange the chairs. No. There must be gladness inside. You know, one time I went to a balloon shop. Then I realized that in the very beginning, that balloon is just like a flat rubber, you see? Then the moment you pump an air, it goes a bit bigger. You pump some more, become bigger. Pump some more, become big, big. Then you pump some more, what happened? It will burst. That's service, no? You pray, that, Lord, give me this. Oh, Lord, guide me. The Lord answers your prayer, your heart. Very thankful to the Lord. As you continue to walk with God, God blesses you, continue to bless you. You are so thankful. Again, in your school, whatever you do, the Lord bless you. Your heart so big until it bursts. When it bursts, it becomes what? A spiritual service. That is a service with gladness. Out of your thankfulness of what God has done in your life. So when you look at the balloon, look at it as your heart, that you are very thankful because of what has done, of what God has done in your life. And when it bursts, it becomes a service. Are you serving God with joy and gladness? If not, you are spiritually sleeping. It is high time for you to wake up. Go back to Romans chapter 13. Brother, I want to wake up. When will be the right time to wake up? After the camp? Next year? Look at verse 11. I want to draw your attention in this very short word, a word that is made up of three letters. And that knowing the time, that what? Now! N-O-W! You must wake up now! Not tomorrow, not next day, not after the camp, but now! N-O-W! For those of you who don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ yet, don't wait next year. Now, wake up. Spiritually. Those of you who are serving the Lord without gladness and joy, please wake up now. N-O-W. For those of you who are no longer praying, and because everything is fine, you just trusted in your bank account, you just trusted in your talent, and because of that, you trusted everything in yourself, you become self-confident. Wake up. From your spiritual slumber. When? N-O-W. Now! You have to wake up! Don't let God would cane you. You see, very painful. Still, it's called a sugar cane. When God will cane you, still it's called a sugar cane, but it's painful. Don't rebel against God, especially when you could hear the spiritual alarm clock. Wake up. N-O-W, what? Now. Why we need to wake up? Of course, because we are spiritually sleeping. Out of sleep. You know, when you are sleeping, you are unable to defend yourself, right? Can you sleep and when somebody want to hit you, you can still defend yourself? No, it's nonsense. You could only defend yourself if you are awake. In fact, there was an account in the book of Judges that a man was being killed by a woman because the man was sleeping. Just imagine. You are a man, masculine, killed by a feminine. Why? Because usually the man was sleeping. And there was also a time when Paul was preaching. The man was sleeping. The man fell down. Here, if you sleep, you will not fall down. When you are sleeping, my point is, you cannot defend yourself. And Peter says, what did Peter say? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The devil is like what? A roaring lion. Every day the devil would go to the streets and said, who are sleeping? Who are sleeping? And those Christians who are sleeping are a mouth-watering prey of the devil. Did you remember this morning, Nehemiah? Nehemiah was very active. Nehemiah was a man who praised the Lord. But you see, even though Nehemiah was a man of prayer, even though Nehemiah was building the wall, Satan wants to distract Nehemiah. How much more if you are a sleeping Christian? He will devour you. Satan will eat you up. That's why we need to be sober and vigilant Christians. If you don't want to be eaten by Satan, by the devil, wake up now. The second reason why we need to wake up can be found in the next phrase in verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. You know, there is one theologian that says, Christians today are in between the world already and not yet. Are you getting it? We are Christians. We are in the middle of already and not yet. And I agree it. Already in the sense that we are already saved. Not yet in the sense that we have not experienced the fullness of salvation. We still sin. And here, the word salvation here does not refer to the beginning part of salvation. The word salvation here is the fullness of salvation. When we are given a glorified bodies, no more pain, no more crying. Paul said, we must be awake because Christ is what? Coming soon. By way of testimony, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2000 in the rehab center. And now it's 2008. So 2008, are you getting it? I received the Lord Jesus Christ 2000 and now it's 2008. 2008 is nearer to the coming of Christ compared to the year 2000 when I believed Jesus. That's the argument of Paul here. How shameful it is when we are spiritually drowsy, then Christ will come again. How sad it is when Christ comes, we are watching a pornographic site, is it? You are watching a pornographic site and immediately Christ will come? Wow, so shameful. How shameful it is when Christ comes and we are no longer serving in the church. How shameful it is when Christ comes and we are not a vibrant Christian, but a lukewarm Christian. we need to wake up before it's too late. In order for a Christian to grow in the knowledge and grace of God, the second coming of Christ must be real to him. Because Christ said in his word, I will come back again. And God never lies. This should be the hope of every Christian, that Christ is coming soon. And heaven must be real to us. But it's sad to say, today, even Christians are so in love with this world. The cure for materialism in this world is that you must fall in love with heaven. Heaven must be real to you. Pray and work hard that the worldly pleasure in life will just fade in your interest, in your heart. One of the things that I couldn't forget is that when I went back to Cebu for Philippines for good, because I was staying in Singapore for more than 6 years. So when I was about to go back home, yes, I'm excited that I'm going back, but I feel I was so sad because, you know, I could not eat roti prata because I like to eat roti prata. There are things that bothers me. So when I was in the airport, I keep on looking Singapore. Wow, Singapore so nice, so comfortable, so safe. Then I was in the plane. The plane started to had its flight. So I keep on looking Singapore. But as the plane goes up, you see, it start to fade. Singapore start to fade. 3 hours after, when I open, I see the light, and it's what? Philippines. Something like that, our Christian walk. As we keep on reading the Word of God, as we keep on praying, as we keep on hearing the messages and have Christian fellowship, this will be the case. Slowly, the pleasures of the world will fade in your heart. And now, heaven will slowly become real to you. And please pray and work hard that you will fall in love with things that are heavenly. If Jesus will come tomorrow, what will you do? So friends, it's good that we will live every day as if Jesus will be coming the next day. Now, the next question that we need to answer is that, after we wake up, what we will do? Look at verse 12. And the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's a repetition of the truth that now Christ is almost coming. And now look at verse 12. There is the word, what? Let us. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day and in rioting and drunkenness and in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. There are three, what? Let us. Have you seen it? Let us. You know, when you command somebody, okay, can you take that? That's a command. You stand, that is a command. But here, Paul tries to identify himself with these people and said, come on, wake up, because Paul is the one waking you. Come on, please, wake up from your spiritual slumber. Come on, wake up. And the moment you wake up, Paul said, come on, I will help you, I will support you. Let us. He tried to identify himself with people. I said, come on, I want to encourage you. Let us. What is the first let us? Let us, what? Cast off the works of darkness. You know, friends, you cannot deny this fact. The moment you start to be sleepy spiritually, you cannot deny that the world is taking hold of you. There are worldly styles, worldly ways that now polluting in you. That's why the first thing you do the moment you wake up is what? Cast out. Put out those worldly pleasure. Put out those worldly activities, worldly ways that is now polluting in you. That is the first thing you need to do. This word is a military term. Just like you are a military, and then after your duty, you have to take out your uniform. That is the word cast off. Take out those things that contaminate you, which are things that are sinful. And look at the next, let us. It's what? Let us what? Put on. The sequence of the word is very important. The first thing is put off. The second is what? Put on. Just imagine, I saw you this afternoon, you were playing games. I want to play games, but I was also thinking of my message try to polish my message. I want to play. Let's say, for example, you play games. Then it's very hot. It's summer. So as you keep running, you are sweating. You see? Sweating at the same time, your t-shirt become very dirty. When you arrive home, your mother said, okay, son, daughter, let's eat. Then you didn't change. You didn't go. You didn't bath. Then your mother said, oh, son, you smell like a real man. You better change. So, okay, mom, okay, mother, I'll change. Then when you change, you open your cabinet. You never bathe. You never take out your clothes. You just put the new t-shirt. Put some perfume. You say, okay, you talk. Later, again, you smell like real man. Why? Because you didn't take off. There's something wrong. The first thing you do before you put on, you must what? Take off something. And the first thing you do, the moment you hear the alarm clock ringing, ring, you are spiritually sleeping. When you wake up, the first thing you do is put those things that are worldly. Put out those things that are sinful that you're enjoying. What's the point of I'm waking up? You see, my eyes is so round, I'm awake. And you never put off those things. Useless. Are you spiritually sleeping? I don't know. It's only you know and God. Remember, the moment you are spiritually sleeping, the moment that you are spiritually drowsy, you cannot deny the fact that there are worldly things that is polluting you. Take those things. Be honest to God and be honest to yourself. I'm not only speaking to you, I'm also speaking to myself. Can you open to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. This is very important. The uniform of a Christian soldier. You put off. Put off something, those sinful pollution, worldly pleasures, and put on the uniform of a Christian. Look at verse 14. Stand thereon, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Put this on. After you put off the things. And you know, as far as this Christian armor is concerned, the first thing, have you noticed in verse 14, the first armor there mentioned, the first part of the armor is what? The belt of truth. Why? What do you think? It should be the sword because the sword is offensive. But it's a belt of truth. No, why? You know why? The moment you lie, you already defeated the battle. Because, you know, John 8, chapter 8 said, Satan is the father of all lies. The moment you lie, the moment you don't have a truth, there's no need to wear all those things because you are already defeated. Let us put off. Put on. What is the last? Let us go back to Romans chapter 11. Let us walk honestly. The idea here is to walk rightly. And here we could connect to our message. The first message, what? Keep on following Jesus. And if you want to walk rightly, you see, if you want to keep on following Jesus, you must not do these things, rioting and drunkenness, like celebrating feast, eating, drinking. Oh, hey, man, hey, Saturday night, you see? Do not join all those things. The second group, chambering and wantonness. These are sensual life, lustful things, sensual life. Drinking, feasting, don't join that. If you want to walk honestly, things that are sensual, do not do that. not in strife and envy. My dear friends, verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Lordship and the word Savior and Lord could not be divided. Because there are people who said, who want to believe in Jesus? Many raised, I believe in Jesus. But later, you would see that there is no change in their life. Why? Because for them, Jesus is just a Savior and not a Lord. That should not be. It should be intrinsic. Jesus is your Savior. At the same time, Jesus is your Lord. That's very, very important. And in order for you to walk straight, in order for you to follow Jesus, in order for you to keep following Jesus, you must make Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. That is very important. Let's say, for example, I will buy a BMW car. It's expensive, right? Then I would own the engine. Then I'll be staying outside. Then I will immediately release the gear. So the BMW would run like crazy. What will happen? Of course, it will bang, it will hit. There is no driver. In the same way, when we will drive our own lives, we are like a car that has no driver. When we walk, we must make Jesus as the captain of our soul. Jesus must be our Lord so that we can walk honestly. As Paul said, let us walk honestly. So friends, when you wake up, you have something to do. Put off those things, worldly things, sinful things that pollute you. Put on something. Put on the uniform of a soldier. At the same time, walk right. Keep on following Jesus. I want to end the message tonight about the story of David Livingstone. As I told you earlier, I think it was in my first message, David Livingstone was a very wonderful missionary in Africa. He was a Scottish missionary. When he died, when the people knew that David Livingstone was to be sent at that day to the cemetery, people in his place stood in the streets because they respected David Livingstone. They were blessed by the life of David Livingstone. And it was told that at this time, David Livingstone will be sent to the cemetery, the body of David Livingstone. So all the people, the neighbors, even from other places, they came to the place and stood to see David Livingstone. And there was a beggar who was standing, and the beggar, as the body of David Livingstone passed by at him, the beggar said, "You are right, David. You are right, David. You are right, David." He keeps on saying that. "You are right, David. You are right, David." And there was a man who heard that. He said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" "Yes." "Why is it that you keep on saying, 'You are right, David. You are right, David'?" Then the man said, "You know, I and David were classmates in the Sunday school. We are close friends with David, but there is one thing that we couldn't agree. For him, life is serving the Lord. For me, life is money. And now I became a beggar." "David, you are right. David, you are right." The man said, "Hey, beggar. Hey, sir. It's not too late. Wake up." Then the man said, "Yes, I'm going to wake up." From there, he started to serve the Lord again. He died as a Christian at the same time serving the Lord. You know why? Because he woke up from his spiritual slumber. I hope and pray that this message awakens you. Wake up from your spiritual slumber. When? After the camp? Next year? No. N-O-W. Now. Wake up. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for telling us that we need to wake up from our spiritual slumber. We need to wake up now. And Lord, when we wake up, after hearing the spiritual alarm clock, we need to do something to put off the things, the worldly things, the worldly pleasure, the sinful things that is polluting us. And help us, Lord, to put on the righteousness of Christ. At the same time, help us to walk rightly, to follow Jesus, Lord. Oh, Lord, give us the grace to keep on following Jesus in order that our life will be pleasing unto Thee. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.